Today, October the 4th, is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, probably one of the best known and most popular Catholic saints, not even just among Catholics, but among many in our world. As you may know, the story of St. Francis's life, after a carefree and very worldly youth, St. Francis found himself in the church of San Damiano in the valley just below the town of Assisi, in a church that was in ruins. And from the cross there in that church, he heard the voice of Christ say to him, "Francis, go rebuild my church, which, as you see, is falling into ruins." He took this literally at first and rebuilt that church of San Damiano, but over time he came to understand that the Lord was speaking not about that physical church building so much as he was about the church as the mystical body of Christ, the people of God. And St. Francis and his followers dedicated themselves to rebuilding the church in his day. Any builder, any homeowner for that matter, knows that the place to begin with a building or with rebuilding is at the foundation. Any number of repairs may be needed in a home, but if there are problems with the foundation, those repairs are not going to last very long. Which brings us to today's gospel. Our Lord tells this parable about the vineyard, and then he very clearly and explicitly explains the point of his parable. We don't have to search too hard to figure out what lesson he desires us to draw. He says, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes'?" That word cornerstone is sometimes also translated foundation stone. Jesus is the stone rejected by the builders when he was put to death by the leaders of his own people of Israel, the priests and elders to whom he addressed this parable. But he was to become and has become the cornerstone, the foundation of the new Israel, which is our church, when he rose from the dead. Which means to be a Christian is to make Jesus Christ the foundation, the cornerstone of our lives. You and I may not spend every moment of every day in prayer. We may not be contemplative monks or nuns, but every aspect of our life is meant to be built upon Christ. We look to Jesus Christ and to his church to teach us not just how to spend an hour on Sunday morning, but how to spend every moment throughout the week in such a way as to give glory to God. This morning, the first Sunday in October, the church in our nation also celebrates Respect Life Sunday. And so today, the church in our nation invites us to reflect upon the cornerstone, the foundation of the whole moral order, the cornerstone of all of human society. The proposal of Catholic social teaching is simple, that the right to life is the foundation of the whole of society. There are many problems in society. Perhaps they've never been more obvious to us before as they are today. Problems that demand our attention, certainly. But again, to use the architectural analogy, these problems, greater or less in significance and importance, are like gaps around windows, sagging floors, cracks in the wall of the home that need to be cared for, certainly. But the right to life is the foundation. And if it's not cared for, everything else will merely be a temporary patch. Of course, the one life issue that we're reminded time and again by the church is preeminent among all the rest, to use the language of our bishops, is the right to life of the unborn. And sometimes we Catholics are accused of being hung up on this issue or having a kind of tunnel vision about this. What makes this particular issue the preeminent, social justice and human rights issue of our time? Why do our bishops insist that this is the most urgent repair needed in the foundation, in the cornerstone of human society? I'd offer two reasons this morning. First, the child in the womb is the most innocent and vulnerable human person imaginable. That child depends upon her mother literally for everything. A mother's womb is meant to be a sanctuary within which that most vulnerable human life can be protected and nourished. But sadly, in our day, a child is often presented as an intruder into that sanctuary, rather than as the very reason for that sanctuary and a gift. If we cannot acknowledge the need to defend the dignity of the most innocent and vulnerable human life, our defense of the dignity of all human life has to be called into question. And secondly, the second reason can be summed up in one number, 60 million. In the almost 50 years since abortion has been legal in our country, over 60 million lives have been lost to abortion. We're speaking about destruction of human life on a massive scale. The last century saw some of the most horrifying moments in human history with various totalitarian regimes, the massive loss of life that was the result of that. We are rightly horrified and deeply grieved, for example, at the utter disregard for human dignity in the Holocaust. How can we not also be horrified and deeply grieved over the massive loss of life to abortion in our day? My friends, a very sobering reality is placed before us on this Respect Life Sunday. Maybe, perhaps, you've grown tired of hearing about this. I have to admit, I've grown tired of preaching about it, traveling to Washington, D.C. year after year for the March for Life each January. But this issue must receive our attention. We can try all we want to patch over the other symptoms of a broken world, but that will all be temporary, so long as the foundation is so very broken. So what are we to do? How are we called to respond to this urgent need in our day? There are any number of responses to that question. Certainly, in an election year, this issue must weigh heavily on our consciences as we vote. But I'd like to offer something even more immediate for your consideration. 2 o'clock this afternoon. Why not come to the corner of Ballas and Manchester, right in front of Schnucks there, and join fellow parishioners in the life chain? You can stand for 1 hour with a sign and a rosary and prayerfully give a voice to those who don't have a voice of their own. Anytime we speak on this issue, I think it's important also to speak a word of mercy to anyone who may have been wounded by abortion. Given the massive scale of this tragedy in our time, it's likely, perhaps, that someone here has had a part to play in an abortion. If that's the truth, know that the Church loves you. She speaks this truth clearly and boldly, but not out of a desire to condemn, but she desires to extend to you an invitation to experience the healing power of God's mercy. It's sometimes said that abortion stops one heart and wounds another. Don't be afraid to bring this wound to the Lord, especially in the sacrament of confession, in order to seek that healing that he so longs for you to experience. Yes, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the foundation stone of our lives. And just as in this parable, the landowner sent his own son to the tenants in his vineyard. So God the Father, in the fullness of time, sent his own son to us. And how did he do so? How did he choose to come into our world? As a tiny embryo in the womb of a mother. Let us turn to him now as we do each week here at Mass. Let's renew our resolution before him here to make him the cornerstone, the foundation of our lives. And let us ask him to equip us to do our part, to heal and repair the broken foundation of our society. I'd like to leave you this morning with a quote from the late Congressman Henry Hyde, who once said, in Congress, when the time comes, as it surely will, when we face that awesome moment, the final judgment, I've often thought, as Fulton Sheen wrote, that it is a terrible moment of loneliness. You have no advocates. You are there alone, standing before God, and a terror will rip your soul like nothing you can imagine. But I really think that those in the pro-life movement will not be alone. I think there will be a chorus of voices that have never been heard in this world, but are heard beautifully and clearly in the next world. And they will plead for everyone who has been in this movement. They will say to God, spare him, because he loved us. St. Gerard Majella, patron of the unborn, pray for us.